as an example, but I do think it really highlights the power music. Yeah, the power music does hold. But if we go into like actually like stuff that advocates for social change, I'm
curious the examples you have, because a couple songs sprung to my mind too.
I mean, one that didn't even spring to my mind for a while until like I was really properly thinking about it, but it's the most obvious one to me, is Run the World Girls by Beyonce.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, that is actually a very obvious one. It's obviously women's empowerment. And I think that is definitely one that like, it's a staple song that everyone knows. It's a very well-known song, and a lot of times I've been at like clubs back home and that's played, and all the girls straight away are like,
for sure,
banded together shouting the lyrics to it, which is very nice.
We run the world, guys.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. The Where Is the Love by the Black Eyed Peas as well.
Ooh, okay, wait, I want to hear your explanation on that,
'cause so I know the song. I listened to the song multiple times. What I didn't realize was it was in response to 9/11.
Oh, really?
And it was addressing, like, it was, because it came out 2 years after 9/11 in response to it, but it's addressing overall the issues of terrorism, racism, gang crime, war, violence, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense now when you listen to the lyrics.
I'm going to have to listen to
it. Yeah, because I think like one of them is like, where is the love? People dying, this, that. That's definitely one of the lyrics. Like,
oh, okay, you know what? It's coming back. Yeah.
Like, where is the love? People dying, people crying, I think. But like, if you think about it with the topics that I just listed off on it, clearly that there's a lot of like violence and a lot of stuff that unfortunately does lead to death. And I think like that song was prominent then, and it's still prominent now because the same issues are still now. For so sure. I think that's a very interesting one, because I think a lot of people know it.
I think another example, one, a very popular one, would be Taylor Swift's You Need to Calm Down. As she did that for the LGBT community. They were facing kind of a lot of hate from people. And basically, you know, the message is in the song title.
Yeah.
You need to calm down. Like,
absolutely.
Love is love. It's not that deep.
Yeah, love is love. Absolutely. I think, because there's two more that I have that are actually ones that I would say are more recent. One of them definitely is, and I think it is a prime example of what you were talking about with short form content, and that is Labor by Paris Paloma.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. That was a trending audio on TikTok for sure.
Yeah. And it's all about like the feminist movement and the female rage phenomenon, which I really want to delve into female rage phenomenon at some point. towards like unbalanced domestic and emotional labor in a heterosexual relationship. And I think also it's just like the unbalanced labor between like heterosexual like men and women just from like decades, and it's still I think seen, even if it's not intentional. Like, I think I don't even notice it, but I'm very much I love to cook, I love to bake, I love to clean. Very stereotypical, traditional things. But
dude, you set up to be a trad wife.
Yeah, honestly. And I think, like, was that something... Do I enjoy them because I was socialized into that being what women do? I grew up, my mum did a lot of the cooking, cleaning. And it's nothing against my dad. Like, it's one, it's of their generation. But two, like, my dad does cook, he does clean. Just, I grew up, like, my mum stepped down from her job to raise me and my brother because that's what she wanted to do. My dad was the sole breadwinner for a part of my childhood. My mum went back to work and has had a very successful career, but she wanted to take the time out. So I feel like I grew up watching her cook and clean and stuff.
That is an interesting thought. Like, is it an actual interest that you did have, or is it something that was modeled to you and then you then went on to replicate?
Because I don't, so I don't have like a partner. I don't do it for someone else. Like, I enjoy it and do it for me. Like, when I'm living like at university, I lived with four other girls that I was like really good friends with, mm-hmm. but I enjoyed cooking and cleaning as like I think a form of stress relief, but also I got very like kind of annoyed when it wasn't done, and so I do kind of like wonder, is it something, do I actually enjoy doing it, or is it just like Sushai said, I'm supposed to enjoy it?
That's interesting.
Something to think about for my life. But yeah, that song Labor, going back to the music part, I think is definitely one that is probably still trending to an extent now.
Yeah, no, it was, I remember when that audio was trending, and just there were so many videos from so many women, and it was again like that sense of unity. They were all coming together, and people in the conversations were sharing their experiences. Maybe they were sharing about a situation they were stuck in or how they overcame a hardship, but it was still there, like these women were just empowering each other and sharing wisdom, and it was just such a cool thing to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, not only is that song associated with that, the lyrics are also very clearly portraying that that issue. So it's like a kind of mix of both.
All day, every day, therapist, mother, maid, nymph, then a virgin, nurse, then a servant. Anyway.
Yeah.
So good.
There we go. A little live performance of that song as well. But no, yeah, that one is a very clear, I'd say, connection of looking at social activism and sociology in music. Mm-hmm. The other one I have is one, it took me a long time to actually find out what it was called. I just remember hearing it a lot on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And it came out, I believe, in 2019, and it's called Stand Up by Cynthia Erivo. I really hope I'm pronouncing her surname right. Ooh. But
that doesn't ring a bell.
She played Elphaba in the latest Wicked movie.
Okay.
But I remember hearing the song all the time as like an anthem, because it's all about like stand up, take my people with.
Okay.
That one, yeah.
Now I know it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I knew the lyrics, but I didn't know the song. Mm. And apparently, I didn't even know where the song came from, because I only heard it on TikTok. Mm. But it came from a movie that was released that she starred in about Harriet Tubman's story, who was a abolitionist and social activist, because she escaped slavery back in like the 1800s and helped other people escape. And so the song is actually like a direct expression of hope and strength and activism against, obviously, all the that happened with the slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen that song on TikTok associated a lot with like uniting different people for that have experienced similar things, and also different causes. So it's interesting to see a song that was like part of a movie that followed Harriet Tubman's story and obviously activism against that issue, mm-hmm. be taken and used in other issues as well. Because the lyrics, I feel, are very generic. Like, if you think, like, stand up, take my people with me, you can apply that to a lot of
for sure
different areas.
I hear, now that you explained kind of the topic of that song, though, I definitely hear that theme in the lyrics. I'm gonna have to listen to that one, too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I mean. I was like, this was only a handful of examples that I found and, like, thought of when you look at, like, social activism and songs. Another one I would probably think of, maybe not social activism, but speaking up on the stereotypes against women, is Messy by Lola Young.
Mm.
That's trending on TikTok and that's been charting recently, but that is a very clear song of like breaking down the barriers of what a woman should be, for or like sure. women trying to fit into every yeah. expectation, and it's never right. Yeah. Like they will do so what they're...
I'm too messy.
Yeah.
And then I'm too... Mm-hmm. Something clean.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like saying, like, either one way, I do what you say one way and it's still not right, I do it the other way and it's still not right.
No, that kind of, it, I...
It's like another female rage song.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it does perfectly describe kind of what it is like being a woman, because, you know, if you're too polite and standoffish, then you have just...
You're like rude. No. You're classed as rude.
Yeah, like, but then again, if you're too loud and pushy, that's also rude. And
yeah,
it's very hard to kind of strike a middle ground. It's either one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think also there's just so many negative connotations if a woman is like direct, know what she wants, loud, like will speak up for herself. A lot of people are like intimidated and scared by that, and just like, okay, no. We don't want like that. But then
when whereas men, like, if they are, you know, loud, direct, confident, then they're just...
They're praised for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I could go on and on and on about the contradictions of men and women in roles. I do it.
We'll do it on our car drive.
Yeah, I do it all the time on interviews. Previously and still to this day. Yeah. But yeah.
I like that example too, though. I actually hadn't thought about that messy song like that deeply. Mm-hmm. I knew surface level what it was getting at, but I think it would be really interesting too to like have all the songs that we've mentioned, like print off the lyrics and kind of go through line by line, because I think there'd be a lot of interesting stuff in there.
No, absolutely. And I feel like I'm gonna be listening to songs now and just like analyzing the songs, like even if they're not like directly associated to a social issue or something.
I have to give one more example. I was a huge Macklemore listener growing up, so this song comes to mind. But he has a song, one that I really like, called White Privilege 2. And I think it's like a 7-minute song, but he was kind of tackling the whole Black Lives Matter issue. And he actually includes several clips of kind of people talking from different news stations and including what different people have said to him or about Black Lives Matter. But I remember listening to that, I guess it was several years ago, but I literally had chills like the first time I was listening to it. It was just so powerful, and it described the issue so perfectly. And I really like how he did it too, because he, as a white rapper, acknowledges that, hey, look, like this isn't my field. This is something that I have essentially taken from Black culture. And, you know, he's just trying to figure out how to strike that balance from kind of participating in his career to figuring out what he owes to Black culture. I don't know.
Yeah. Very good. That sounds very interesting. I haven't listened to that one, so I really want to. You've also just reminded me of another way that music holds a power in activism and stuff, is not through the actual song, not through the lyrics, but through the music videos. The music videos themselves hold a lot of power. If you think probably more in the earlier years of like the 21st century than now, because I see a lot of people just like find a song, find it on Spotify, listen to it, rather than like looking to see the music video for it. But like I think of Hozier's Take Me to Church. Yes. Has a very strong music video with the LGBTQIA plus community and the backlash that they face. And you wouldn't think that from the song necessarily. Like, I haven't clocked anything from the song.
Oh, really?
Like, because I researched, when I was researching something, is when I came across it. I've never actually watched the Take Me to Church music video. And I think, like, I know that song, I love that song, but I've never thought it was related to that issue. And so I think another one, because I actually studied this in my media studies A-level, is Formation by Beyoncé. Her music video is filled with signifiers towards discrimination against Black people in the Black community in that music video. If you haven't watched it, I would strongly recommend watching it. It's a very, very cool music video that was put together. And
take notes, guys. We have a playlist for you to listen to, actually.
Absolutely. Should have played all of these songs as we spoke about them. But they also speak about the, what was it, Hurricane Katrina and New Orleans and stuff. That's a big part of the music video and stuff. But it's a very cool music video when you break it down and you actually like look at the different things in it, and you're like, oh, like she's dancing in a plantation house. She's wearing dresses of like the slave owners' wives would wear, and things like that. And if you think of like how powerful it is to have a Black woman wearing those outfits and dancing and singing in a plantation house, of what that represents.
Dude, I just got chills.
What that represents. There's her lying on top of police cars in flooding, and that's talking about like police brutality, Hurricane Katrina, discrimination from the police in the US as well. So there's a lot of strong issues that you probably wouldn't clock unless someone pointed them out, which I think is what's so clever about music videos.
Power of music, guys.
Power of music, absolutely. Yeah. But I feel like before we talk any further, we should have another song. Because we'll probably only have a little bit of time after that song to kind of sum up and finish off. So I think the next song we're going to listen to is the single you're going to debut here.
Oh my gosh, guys. I have been working on it for a while. Not going to lie, it does not tackle super heavy issues like we have just discussed. However, I do think it is a song that can unite people. Kind of the inspo for it. The song title is You Made Me Hate You Made Me Hate My Favorite Songs. And so the purpose is in the name. Like, I was in a headspace where I was just thinking, like, man, have you ever had like a breakup or falling out with a friend, and then after that, you know, you're listening to your playlist and you find you're just skipping a lot of songs because most of the songs just remind you of that person, right? And I was just like, man, okay, I gotta write a song about that. That is the theme. I have been working on it for a while now, and I'm hoping that it's gonna be out on streaming platforms soon. Very excited I get to debut it here.
We're very excited to have you debut it here. This is the first song to ever be debuted on Sociologic on CJSF 90.1 FM. So that's a very, very exciting time. It's definitely something I can relate to, of like skipping songs, and not even just skipping songs that were like my favorite songs, but songs that I integrated into my playlist from partners and then grew to love them, then the breakup, and then it was like, oh, like, you introduced me to this song.
Because it can be such a good song too, but then just the memory of you know, the person kind of turns it sour, which sucks, because I haven't been able to listen to some very good songs, but you know, I guess maybe in time.
The best way, I think, is like trying to create new memories around the song.
Yeah.
Strategically play the song when you're having a really good moment in life. Create a new memory on it.
There you go.
But yeah, so we will be listening to Michaela May's new song that will be out soon. And it's called You Made Me Hate.
You Made Me Hate My Favorite Songs.
My Favorite Songs. And we'll be right back.
Sacco Music.
Thank you.
we are back. We just listened to what is gonna be Michaela's new song that she is so kindly debuting here.
Hope you guys enjoyed.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think, gonna be on one of my top songs of yours.
I don't have a release date yet, but yeah, follow me on Instagram, Michaela May, or Spotify, again, Michaela May, and you'll probably see it soon, hopefully.
Absolutely, and I will have, obviously, all of her streaming platforms and things linked in the description of this episode on cjsf.ca. So kind of like sum up, because we are running a little out of time tonight, kind of to sum up like our music sociology to a little bit psychology episode, I want to talk a bit about kind of music in your life. Obviously, you do make music. Mm-hmm. You've been kind of, music's been in your life for a good while now. So let's get into a bit of that. Like, how did you get into music? How did it start off?
Yeah. So actually, a lot of people do think I was a musical kid, like started young, because I have made it to advanced piano and, I am somewhat decent at it, but actually I did not really start my musical journey till probably 14 years old. Before then, I used to be a huge sports kid. I played competitive softball for a number of years, and I was a pitcher and a first baseman, and I swear I thought I was going to take it to college and just keep at it. However, I ended up breaking my leg pretty badly, and as a feel-better present, my parents got me a electric keyboard. And so I remember little old me at 14 years old, I was on crutches for like 3 months. I had had like a pin and 3 screws put in me, and so I spent a long time just recovering from that. But I remember... I really didn't mind all the time I had to spend in bed, because I would just be laying in bed with my foot up and leaning over to play the keyboard. And that's kind of when I really got interested in it. I learned a lot of Imagine Dragons songs, because they were a hit back then.
Nice. I love a good bit of Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, I made my Imagine Dragons compilation just like literally sitting on the edge of my bed. I remember my mom would get really mad at me because I'd keep putting my foot down so I could properly play piano, but I had to have it elevated. So there was a battle there of, you know, needing to get better, but then also me wanting to play music. That was my first introduction to it. And then once I figured out that I was very injury prone, I just went full head on into music. I play piano, guitar, ukulele, sing, did do a summer of violin, but that did not sound good at all. Sounded like a cat was not having a good time in my basement.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I am just very thankful that I have it in my life now. It is my job right now. I'm a piano teacher, and it is the thing that brings me joy and, again, connects me to people.
So cool. So when did you, like... either realize you could sing or learn how to sing? Because like I feel like for the people that I know in my life that can sing, it's kind of been a thing that they just always were able to do. They just had it since they were a kid, and they were like, oh, I'm halfway decent, and just kept doing it. Type of thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I wasn't tone deaf, but I also was not a good singer when I was a little kid. I do have some old recordings of me trying to sing songs, and you can tell, like, the idea was there, but the execution wasn't great.
Yeah.
I just think it took a lot of practice, honestly, and just doing it over and over again, not really caring what my family thought of me. I'm sure they loved hearing me scream in the shower in my room all the time singing.
Yeah.
But yeah, just practice, even with rhythm too. I remember trying to like dance to a song in the kitchen with my mom and my sister, and my sister was really good at staying on the beat, and my mom was like trying to teach me how to dance to the rhythm because I couldn't quite get it. So I think there was maybe a little bit of ability there, but it definitely took a lot of work to further those skills. And I'm glad I stuck with it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I started to learn piano and I didn't stick with it. I gave it up very quick. And I do kind of regret that, because I think it's such a cool talent to have, is to be with, like, musical in one aspect, singing, an instrument, something. But yeah, we are running pretty close on time, so I am going to stop it there. Unfortunately, I would have loved to have kept talking to you, though.
Dude, thank you so much this. For having me again. This was
of course.
So nice, so fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And stay tuned. We have Bitkuva coming up from 8 to 10 p.m. with our music coordinator, Connor. And as always, tune in again next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. for another sociological topic. And I hope you guys all have a lovely rest of your evening.
Thank you. Good night.
Did you stand there all alone? Oh, I cannot explain what's going down. I can see you standing next to me. In and out, somewhere else right now. You sigh, look away. I can see it clear as day. Close your eyes, so afraid. I'd be on that baby face. Do-do-do. Wanna find a piece of mind, looking for the answers. Funny how it seems like yesterday, as I recall, you were looking out of place, gathered up your things and slipped away. No time at all, I followed you into the hall. Cigarette, daydream. You were only 17. Soft speak with a mean streak. Nearly brought me to my knees. Do-do-do. Answers in the pouring rain. You wanna find a piece of mind, looking for the answer. If we could find a reason to change. Looking for the answer. If we could find a reason to stay. Standing in the pouring rain.
Tune in to Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
At CJSF, we are here for you, and we love that you are here for us. All the effort and inspiration of hosts and programmers is in the hopes you'll find something worthy of your time. I'm William, a member of CJSF's board, and I'm super glad you are joining us today and every day. Stay tuned. There's more great radio on its way to you.